We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101, extra credit on WebmasterRadio.fm is now in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So right now, we're going to do a little extra credit. And John had a good idea for the show. We were going to talk a little bit about local search and what sort of things you should keep in mind if you want to get found locally. So where would you start with that, John?
I'd start with the main thing, the NAP. The NAP is, for local search, the NAP is critical and probably the most important thing you have to worry about with all the other things you have to worry about. And the NAP, for those who aren't, you know, into local search, it's an acronym for the name, address, and phone number. So your name, address, and phone number is the core pieces of information that define you as a business in local search. It's interesting to look at the NAP. If you take it apart, you know, there can be multiple businesses at the same address. So like, say, a mall or an office building. There can be multiple businesses with the same name, say, McDonald's. But realistically, there's not going to be many businesses that share a phone number. So it's the combination of those three things, with the phone number being the primary identifier, that really solidify you and identify you as a business in the local search arena.
What would you say about the formatting of the address and information that people use?
So that's a great question. So the formatting on your website, you want it to be in text format. Wherever it's published on the web, it should be in text format because the engines have to read it, just like any other content. So if you have the name of your business in a bright, beautiful graphic on your page, but not in text anywhere on the page, that's a problem. You also want to put them as close together as possible. So you have name, address, and phone number all in one little chunk somewhere on the page as well, so they can easily associate the three together. What I recommend to people is put it in the footer, your name, address, and phone number, in the footer of your website. And the other thing that does is it puts it on every page of your website. So why do you want it on every page, you ask? I knew you were going to ask that, Ross, so I just asked it for you.
So you're in my mind. Trust me, you must be scared.
I've got my eyes closed. Trust me. So you want your NAP on every page because you don't want to just be found for your business. You want to be found for non-brand related terms in local search as well. So if someone looking for pizza in Jersey City, or happen to be, instead of Domino's in Jersey City, I don't know if there is a Domino's, but I could search for it. But anyway, if you're looking for non-branded terms and you have a page on your website about that topic, you want to make sure that that topic page is associated with your NAP as well. And that's why you want your NAP on every single page of your site. So that gets you NAP association to all those different topics on your website. So for local search, you can be picked up better and your business associated with non-branded terms.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing too is to make sure that, like, for, well, let's take tackle one additional issue, which is going to be very common for many businesses, and that is when they have more than one location on an existing site. Now, I'd actually be interested to see if you have any issue with how I did this, because I consider you far more aware of the local aspects than I am. But we work with a hotel, and what we did in this case is they've got five locations, but their main, let's say their homepage, we can't put a location on or any address on there, so we put their main business address, like their head office, we put that on the footer, or even put it on the about page. But I think we have it on both. And then when you go to say one of the locations, like the Kamloops location, and this is in British Columbia, then when you're in that page, it's siloed. You know, we've talked about siloing before. It's when one area of the website's devoted completely to that topic or that locale. In this case, it is. It's all about the Kamloops, BC area, and there it is. Front and center on the left front and left is the address for the Kamloops location.
You meant left of center.
Yes. and it's obvious that this is the location. And we make sure, and this is the other thing I was sort of getting at too when we're talking about the formatting, you want to make sure that you use exactly the same formatting elsewhere. Whenever you put that address online, so let's say you create a listing for your website on Yellow Pages or Yahoo or anything like that, where it asks or gives the opportunity to put the address, make sure you use the exact same syntax. So not 250.385.1190, which is our phone number here, but 250-, use dashes. Is it that picky still? I know it was.
I with all the changes happening in local search, I would just assume worst case and say yes. So yes. They may easily be able to distinguish between dots and dashes and phone numbers, but why risk it?
Yeah, it was that bad though, wasn't it? I mean, it was so bad that if you had those different things, Google had a difficult time making sure that this was an indicator that you actually existed, because that's what they're doing. They're going out there and they're looking at these citations and different places where people are pointing to you and using your address and making sure that this says the same address and everything's, you know, copacetic.
And it's not so much that they would discount the one with dots. If everything else was dashes and they found two with dots, they're not going to discount those. They're just not going to be as strong a citation because they're not exactly the same. And the same thing kind of goes in, which is probably more prevalent, is when the difference between your address saying Main Street, S-T-R-E-E-T, versus Main Street, S-T period, or Avenue, or, you know, abbreviations in names, the same kind of thing, you know, spelling out the state versus doing the abbreviation of the state, that kind of stuff, you know, using a 5-digit zip code versus the extended one with the 9-digit zip code here in the U.S. So those kind of things are not going to be ignored. They're just not going to have as much strength because they're not exactly the same as the primary citation or the primary NAP, excuse me.
Yeah. And so, you know, what a shame. You want every single thing to take as much power for the time as you possibly can. So in those situations, just make sure everything's identical. And, you know, I think one thing to tie this up a bit is what people have to do next is get those citations. They need those things to correlate that, yes, you do actually have this address and it is, in fact, real. So in this case, yeah.
No, I was going to say, let's be clear that everybody understands what a citation is versus like a link, right? So a link is, you know, something linking to your site. A citation is just an instance of your NAP out in the wild of the internet somewhere. As long as that name, address, and phone number are connected and published anywhere, that's a citation. It does not have to be a link. It does not have to be on a property you own. It does not have to be in a directory. It's just out there somewhere, that's a citation. But just like links, citations have strengths based on where they're at. So a citation on a really strong, a powerful, authoritative site is going to be much, much better than a citation on my sister's blog. Sorry, sis.
Now, what in terms of building those citations and actual links as well, there's a few services out there. I wanted to get this out here until just to prevent anyone from taking a potentially wrong route. I know there's certain ones you just love, like Universal Business Listings.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, but what we should do at least to sort of tie this up here is make sure that others know that there aren't these services that are pitching the end all and be all of getting these links for you aren't necessarily the best things to go with. Now, what would you say to that?
So it depends on how they claim to do it. So you brought up Universal Business Listings, and I've done business with them for a number of years now. And they're not a bad service, but the main reason I use them is because they or any service that does what this is they have a direct access and they publish directly to the databases that publish location information. So there's three main databases. There's the Axiom database, the InfoUSA database, and the Localease database. And that's where most sites who publish directories and local sites like CitySearch and Foursquare and even Google and Bing get a lot of data about businesses. And it's just a database repository. You put your information in the database, and then whenever those sites need an update or want to update, they go get it. So the idea of saying we can put your site in 300 different directories is not really true. What they're doing is putting you in a database, and the sites will then come and get it at their own pace. Some of them, like Google and Bing, might hit those databases once every few days. Some little teeny local directory might hit it once a year. So it really depends. You know, a lot of sites use those databases. And then if you can get sites to pull your information from those databases, they're all going to be exactly the same. That NAP will be very, very consistent because they all got the information from the same place. So from that perspective, I like the database distribution model. But it only covers places that pull data from these databases. There's lots of other ways to get citations.
Yeah, excellent. Well, there you go. That's from the man. You go. You're sent all over the world here to speaking, aren't you? Or at least all over North America.
All over the U.S. and soon to be Victoria, because I'm going to speak to your wife about a couple things.
No. Oh, great. Well, on that note, I think I better go. And everyone, we'll be right back after this quick break.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Join the thousands of search and social media marketers at one of the largest events of the year, SES San Francisco 2012, August 13th through the 17th. Learn more at sesconference.com. SES San Francisco 2012 kicks off 3 days of sessions with a keynote presentation by Google digital marketing evangelist Avinash Kaushik, speaking about business optimization in a digital age. Check out daily Meet the Expert roundtables where you can take part in intimate and informative discussions with industry icons. Add over 70 sessions, a crowded expo floor, on-site training at the ClickZ Academy, the big search engine watch eliminator,
goodbye,
and webmasterradio.fm search bash, and you'll have SES San Francisco 2012, August 13th through the 17th. Register for SES San Francisco 2012 today by clicking on the banner ads from the webmasterradio.fm website or go now to sesconference.com.
How far do your ads reach? You don't have to fly around the world for the right consumers and clients to find your business. What you need is profit through performance. Location 3 Media helps you to increase your brand's findability and performance. Let Location 3 Media help you create efficient and effective online marketing campaigns that fit your needs and get you results. We know every click starts a journey. Where will your brand be on the path? Visit Location3Media.com.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS, text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
your virtual webmaster frat house.
Webmasterradio.fm. Hey, bring your togas.
Webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening. Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Hello and welcome to an extra credit portion of SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and I wanted to jump into a few pieces of news. One thing is just recently Bing launched a link disavow tool. Now, one thing that John and I have spoken about in the past is how silly all these penalties have been around the Penguin and Panda on any kind of links that are pointing to your website that just aren't doing anything for you. In fact, they're actually providing negative benefits to your site. In those situations, my personal opinion is that they should just be ignored. Google shouldn't be penalizing anyone. If they ignored it, it would just wouldn't be of any use, and people would be wasting their money getting them. However, Google wants to penalize, so whatever, fine. In that situation, a lot of us have said, well, why don't we have a way to disavow links? Let's say we don't want this link to be associated with us. Someone's linked to us, though, so we can't control it. In that situation, Google still has not provided anything to do that, but Bing, we have no idea why, but Bing has decided to do that. Now, Danny Sullivan was the one that announced this on, or at least was one that did a fairly decent article on this particular subject. He said he asked Microsoft why they launched it and why a site owner would be motivated to spend time reviewing links and determining if they should be disavowed. Can, in fact, spammy links hurt a site? And can competitors hurt sites in this way in Bing? Essentially, I'll just sort of keep it brief here. They've been kind of wishy-washy about their answer. They say, quote-unquote, this tool simply allows webmasters a way to alert us, a signal, if you will, to the fact they don't support a particular link or group of links pointing to their site. Ultimately, though, it helps us understand the webmaster's intent. If they disavow links we already see as undesirable or spammy, then we, Bing, and the webmaster are on the same page. So, they really don't tell us whether or not at this point negative link campaigns could hurt a company or whether or not this is really going to help anyone. But I think it's great that they've done this, if anything, just to set the precedent that Google will hopefully follow. But I really don't know how much impact it has on anyone's rankings at this point, because I don't know of anyone per se who has been impacted negatively by bot links within Bing, at least not directly for that reason. So it's interesting. Again, I think it's a good sign for all of us that Google may be bringing this into play, because I know a few clients that we've received lately who have had problems. They've been coming asking for help, and we've been glad to help. Would really benefit from a link disavow tool. So here's hoping. Next on the list is Penguin and Panda, where you hit. Now, the reason I bring this up now is I have been dealing and helping a lot of companies out that have had penalties applied to them. Now, from Penguin, it's not necessarily a penalty. It's an algorithmic update, so it has just affected their rankings. Say they dropped 50 places. You know, to all intents and purposes, for a owner, though, it feels like a penalty. Technically, a penalty is something manually applied by a Google employee. Now, Penguin and Panda, both of those have instigated some of those, in some cases, at least as far as I can tell. Now, the key that I'm trying to get to here is that if you have got a penalty or there's some sort of algorithmic update, look at your site, go through it with a fine-tooth comb after reading Google Webmaster Guidelines, and be very, very particular about everything you read. I've actually taken some time just for the sake of interest to go through it and try to create my own checklist from Google Webmaster Guidelines so that I can show it to some of my staff. Again, I think it's a refresher. We kind of live and breathe them anyway, but I don't want anything missed. We're dealing with people's livelihoods here, and obviously when there has been a manual update applied, we have to go through the reconsideration request system within Google, and we don't want to have anything that keeps them from getting reconsidered, or not keeps them, but keeps them from getting reinstated. So make sure you do that. Read through it all and be hypercritical of your website. Change anything you possibly can and bring it back from the brink. And the brink is really where you are about to fall off the edge and be in a total black hat realm where you know Google would not even listen to you again. If you're doing something that's been gray hat that got you banned or penalized, then just pull back, clean everything up. Even if you have to quote unquote de-optimize a page, you know, take out some of the keywords that you know were benefiting you, but you're a little concerned maybe it was a bit over the top. Take all that stuff out. Do it before you do the reconsideration, and then itemize and outline everything you've done to get that reconsider to feel worthy of a reconsideration, and be transparent. Really, that does pay off. I did that for a client recently and got a response in 5 days. That's a record for me. I usually see a week or so, at least. 5 days is great. So they are responding quite quickly. In some cases, they don't respond. They'll just say, "We're looking at this. We will not necessarily respond to you, but if you do get re-added, it will happen within a few weeks." But I have noticed by being very verbose and very detailed about what we've done to improve their sites and how we're trying our best, they tend to be a little more interactive. So keep that in mind. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk, I've got a few questions from listeners I'd like to answer.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Bring in unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Podcasting at the speed of sound.
WebmasterRadio.fm, the flamethrower.
WebmasterRadio.fm, we're everywhere.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to this extra credit version of SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So we've got a few questions that I picked up out of the Facebook page, so thank you, everyone. We always appreciate these. The first one's from Nicole Degner. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. She says, "Hi, guys. I'm about to take on a few Canadian clients. Is there anything different in terms of SEO or search engines from the U.S. to Canada? Any insight I should consider? Thanks." Well, obviously, I'm in Canada, so I imagine that's why you've asked. And we do deal with a lot of Canadian clients. I've been trying to think exactly what I would consider different. Some of the more obvious things, I guess, is what come to mind. For example, when you're doing any kind of ranking reporting, if your clients desire those still, You're going to want to make sure you're doing it from google.ca and any other Canadian-related version of a search engine. That's very important. The difference in rankings is massive, especially if they're a .ca. And that's another thing to consider. If they're a .ca website, they're unlikely to get as much exposure in the .com realm. If they're looking for that, then that's something they should consider. Maybe changing their domain or offering a second site that's for U.S. or international means. So .ca, you get pigeonholed. It's Canadian. Google is very strict about that. Now, the other thing would be if you're doing any kind of local, your options are very restricted. Google Local is pretty much the only game in town. After that, the only way to get into Bing or Yahoo Local are through the god-awful Yellow Pages. Obviously, I'm not impressed with them, and I haven't been for a long time. I don't like anything that requires me to pay to get into any of these things, and frankly, it's not even all that reliable that you will. But that's the only way to get into Bing right now. They still don't seem to care about Canada, so they're only allowing people in through Yellow Pages. Anything else I can think of? Sometimes French versions are required, and then you have to get into of the content, especially if it's a government site or someone who's representing all Canadians, including Quebec and Montreal. There's different laws around that as well. That's a whole another ball of wax. But when it comes to SEO, that's really where the buck stops. I can't think of anything else. You always have different laws when it comes to privacy settings and such, but that, again, doesn't involve too much to do with SEO. Hope that helps, Nicole, and good luck. Now, another question from Elliot Richmond. Where can I find show notes? You've referred to them on the show, but I can never find them. I'm sorry to hear that, Elliot. We don't officially have show notes that I know of. Maybe Brasco can tune in if he knows of any, but I don't know of any. We do occasionally post relevant links to some of the stuff we've discussed, and we put those on Facebook. So it's kind of that's kind of our website of choice for posting any comments or information based on the show. But thank you. And ideally, someday we'd have the budget to do show notes, but we just don't have that at this point. So if you have any questions in specific about the show we just did, by all means, ask them and we'll try and get to them and answer them either on the air or within the Facebook page. Facebook page is facebook.com/SEO101podcast. Now, Casper, I'm sorry, Casper, I'm not going to try your name. I'm going to butcher it to death. It looks like it's possibly Norwegian or something. But you have a question about local, and there's some great – oh, it's Denmark. That's from Denmark. I think I'm going to hold off. I don't have John on this episode, so I'm going to wait until he gets on the next one, and we'll make sure we get to your question then. So I'll earmark it for the next show. Thank you. A question from Keith Hemstreet. I have a retail site. A supplier used to sell on his own site, but does not anymore. I have a retail site, and he shut the site down. It's no longer hosted. Can I use the product descriptions from his old site without getting hit for duplicate content? I think that's where we get down to the key question here. Can I use the product description from his old site without getting hit for duplicate content? I don't see a reason why not. What I would do is I would test to make sure that that isn't already duplicated elsewhere, you know, hasn't been scraped. In general, though, I think that's no problem at all. If the site is gone, it can't be indexed anymore. There is no duplicate content. It's being used before, but that's not an issue. So go for it, Keith. That should make life a lot easier. And by the time you've re-optimized that content, it'll be better and different anyway. So you'll be fine. Now, Lewis is great. He's always asking questions. Thank you. He wants sort of a podcast question or survey, and I think that's a great idea. I'm going to have to get back into Facebook and figure out how to do that. He says, considering all the things Google and Bing has been doing recently, which one do you like best? We used to like Google, but definitely favor Bing now and recommend to use Bing to our clients. Well, I've heard that a lot lately. And personally, Google has cheesed me off a bunch as well. And I know a lot of clients are feeling the same way. It is still the only game in town, really, when it comes down to truly bringing in the bucks. Bing is getting better. There's no question whatsoever, and it's certainly nothing to be ignored. But until it's a bigger game, I know I still have to focus on Google. But again, we are still going to have to focus on Bing a bit, and I personally think it'd be great to get more Bing action. They're really, really working hard, and they seem to be working for us versus against us, which that's how I'm feeling Google is these days. So, but I, what I'll do is, everyone, if you want to go to our podcast or our Facebook page, I'm going to have that survey up there soon, and we'd love to get your input. Which one do you like more, Google or Bing? And I'll see if I can even post an other option on there, and you can mention something else you really like. Maybe Wolfram Alpha or Blecko or some of these other fancier, dancier, smaller search engines that are making some progress in the marketplace. Well, thank you, everyone. This has been a fun extra credit episode. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is ross@stepforth.com. That's STEPFORTH.com, or on the Facebook page at facebook.com/SEO101podcast. Thanks for joining us today on this extra credit version of SEO 101. You can hear us every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And we hope you tune in next week. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.